y'all. Thanks for listening to Killer Queens.
Or KQ if you're nasty.
Welcome to the show where two 90s-loving country chicks gab about true crime and tell each other to talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. I'm Torella.
And I'm Tori.
And we're sisters who have always loved true crime and decided to turn that obsession into a show with a light take on the topic.
Kind of like diet true crime, it's all the flavor and fewer calories.
Now with our show, you'll get true crime, 90s nostalgia, and a few four-letter words sprinkled in.
Because I always say that Polly Pockets and true crime go together like peas and carrots.
Be sure to check out our case submission form on our website at killerqueenspodcast.com and follow us on social media and YouTube.
Now grab your Surge, your 3D Cool Ranch Doritos, and your kitten surprise, and let's get into the episode.
This episode contains discussion of child murder and extreme religion. Listener discretion is advised.
In late 2019, Kay Woodcock called local police and asked them to perform a welfare check on her 7-year-old grandson, JJ Vallow. She hadn't seen him in almost 2 months and couldn't get in touch with his mother or his older sister. As investigators began to look into where JJ was, they found that his 16-year-old sister, Tylee Ryan, was also missing. Their mother, Lori Vallow, claimed that they were safe and happy, but refused to tell anyone where they were. Detectives continued to dig into the Vallow family and found a sickening story of extreme religion, demons, zombies, and murder. They found suspicious deaths that surrounded Lori, as well as her new husband, Chad Daybell. Unfortunately, no one could find JJ or Tylee. Were they really somewhere safe, or had they been victims of Lori and Chad's bizarre cult-like religion?
Hey, you guys, welcome to Killer Queens. If you've never been here before, we want to give you just a little information about how the show is set up and what it's meant to accomplish. If you have been here before, welcome back. You can just use that handy skip ahead feature here if you want to.
We want to give a message to friends and family of the victims. We know that there may be someone involved in the case who might listen one day, and we want you to know that our intention is to only bring awareness to this case. And while we do use personal stories in some instances and our own humor in order to tell the story in a way that listeners can relate, we have the utmost respect for victims and their families.
We created Killer Queens to be a place where we can have open discussions about cases just like you would with friends. We are not investigators. We use information that is available to the public, such as documentaries, case files, and media coverage. Using this information, we intend to tell the story of what happened in each case that we cover. Now, will you agree with our interpretations or conclusions of each case? Well, heck no.
Mm-mm. We each approach cases from different perspectives, life experiences, and beliefs that we already have in place. And sometimes these differences are slight, yet they can be wide enough to cause divide and upset some of those listening. We do our best to present the facts as we find them in our research, but we do bring our own perspectives to the case. We understand that you will too. We want you to know that this is a safe space to discuss differences and opinions in a civilized manner. Our style may not be your personal preference, and if that's the case, we know you'll be able to find one of the many other shows out there to tell the story the way you want to hear it. We can be grown-ups about it if you can.
Now, if we are your cup of tea and you want even more KQ, you can join our Patreon and get access to our entire catalog of episodes ad-free and access to bonus episodes too. And I'll give you just a little hint if you're an ad skipper, but you still want the deals that we have from our sponsors each week, you can scroll down to the show notes and see what coupons we have available for you right down there.
But you didn't hear it from us.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. That's a pro tip, but I'll deny ever sharing it.
Right. So all that being said, let's get into the story.
All right. So this is part two
mm-hmm.
of a two-parter. So
yeah. This will conclude what?
And we had a million, billion, zillion requests for this case. And thank you to everyone. We mentioned all the names in the last episode.
Yes.
And thanks again to Madison for writing this one up.
Yay.
Yay.
So let's get into it.
Yeah, we're going to jump right into it. All right. So in September of 2019, Lori told Tylee to pack her things. They're moving. Lori's mother remembered last seeing her granddaughter crying as she packed her belongings. Colby said that Tylee was so upset that she wouldn't even talk, that they, like, this is just so weird. They didn't even know where they were moving to. Nobody knew. The next morning, Lori, JJ, and Tylee left Arizona to move closer to Chad. They relocated to Rexburg, Idaho, aka the New Jerusalem, aka where Chad already lived. Anyway. Colby, still in Arizona, was preparing to welcome a new baby with his wife, so he wasn't able to talk to his sister as much as he had done in the past. He sent her a text on September 24th. Tylee responded to him, typing in all lowercase. Something seemed off, and Colby was immediately worried. And look, like, if you text with somebody a lot, you know how they text.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just obvious. Some people use emojis. Some people don't. Like, some people use proper, like, sentence case, you know, where they're going to capitalize the first letter of every sentence. They use punctuation if they're mad at you, apparently.
Some people abbreviate everything. Some people don't. Mm-hmm. Like,
you just, you know. And immediately he's like, that's not how she texts. She doesn't do mm-hmm. that. Like, oh, it's so sad. So Colby called his mother and was like, hey, what's going on with Tylee? She seems off. I don't know what's going on with her. And I believe he was trying to call her sometimes too. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't answering. She wouldn't talk to him on the phone. It was only via text, like all this stuff. So he calls Lori and he's like, hey, something's off. Like, I don't know what's up. And Lori was like, oh yeah, you know, Tylee, she's just in a new school. She's trying to move on from Charles's death. Tylee will give you a call when she's ready. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here, you know, whatever. Colby, not feeling any better at all after getting this information from his mom, texted his sister back and asked her, why are you texting so strangely? Why do you not sound like you? And so Tylee stopped responding and Lori shut her phone off. Okay. If she's fine,
mm-hmm.
she's just not ready to talk to anybody right now. She's not ready to talk to you, whatever. Why would you shut her phone off? She still needs a phone, right? Like, she still needs to be able to contact, say, you, her mother, if she needs something.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't make sense.
Not even a little bit.
Convinced that something was wrong with Tylee, Colby and his wife started looking through all the emails that Charles had sent before he died. And remember, Charles was trying to get information to Lori's family, like, hey, there's something wrong. Please pay attention to this. Like, we need to figure out something to do. There's something going on here, whatever. And they all were just like, had shut him off. Like, nope, we're not talking to you. You cheated on her. This is your fault. Not going to believe anything that you're spewing about her right now. You're just trying mm-hmm. to make her look bad, like whatever. So then they start going back through things. And Kelsey, his wife, is like, oh no, this is looking very, very, very not good.
Sus.
Oh yeah, sus, totally. So there were lists that Lori had made of which of her friends and family were light spirits and which were dark spirits.
And we're not talking about spirits in a good way, like the alcohols and beers.
No. So Charles wrote that Lori often referred to Tylee as a dark spirit. This is her daughter. Chad said that there were 20,000 zombies on Earth and the only way to free them was to kill them. As a kindness. He also said that he was the only one who knew who the zombies were, of course. So if you needed to know if somebody you are acquainted with is a zombie, you just ask Chad. He knows. He'll tell you mm-hmm. one way or the other. Lori told Alex that their brother Adam was a zombie as of that year.
This is feeling a little frailty-esque.
Hmm. Well, it's definitely like, anybody who disagrees with them.
Or is like zombie. In their way.
Uh-huh. Zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Because Adam, we know, believed Charles and was still in mm-hmm. contact with Charles. So he's got to be a zombie. He's got to go.
Right.
I mean. She also told Alex that her niece's ex-husband, Brandon, who'd previously been very close to Lori and even baptized Tylee into the LDS church, was the final zombie. In October of 2019, when Brandon was pulling into his driveway, someone in a Jeep Wrangler drove by and shot at him. The bullet missed him and struck his car, and then the Jeep sped off. He told police that the Jeep looked just like the Jeep that Charles had given to Tylee when she got her driver's license. And Brandon said he believed the shooter was Lori's brother, Alex Cox. So now we know Tylee doesn't have a phone anymore. It's been shut off. And now she doesn't have a vehicle either.
Mm-hmm.
But she's supposedly off living her best life, doing whatever she wants to do right now.
Right.
With no phone and no vehicle. And no digital footprint whatsoever. But
right.
Yeah. On October 9th, 2019, Chad's wife, Tammy, arrived home to find a man in a ski mask. He shot at her, but he missed. Tammy screamed for Chad, who came out running like he was trying to talk to the gunman. It turned out the gun was actually a paintball gun. But then, less than 2 weeks later, on October 19th, first responders arrived on scene to the Daybell home to find 49-year-old Tammy dead. Chad told investigators she'd been having these fainting spells recently. I don't know what it was. Probably killed her. It was determined that she died of natural causes.
How?
And also, she's 49 years old. You're saying she's fainted a couple times? That could be low blood pressure. So, like, now she's dead? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. And could be low blood sugar. She didn't eat or something.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, yeah. It could be like a lot of things, many of which may not kill her. And then also, isn't that weird though? Because 2 weeks before, a guy in a ski mask shot at her, and now she died of natural causes.
Well, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that if, unless you had a terminal illness or something that could result in death, aren't you supposed to have an autopsy at the very least?
That's what I thought. I guess
the family can be next of kin or whatever.
I think that family members can turn it down. I know there are some religions that don't want.
Oh, sure.
You know,
yes,
and stuff
yes.
like that. So I don't know, but that's what I thought too, because she's only 49. She's not 89.
Exactly. Like, I don't know how you can die of natural causes at 49 with no pre-existing illnesses.
And also, one would think that, because Chad declines the autopsy, but one would think that she's only 49. Even if I don't think she was really fainting, then maybe she was, maybe she wasn't, I don't know. But he says she was, so I don't believe him. But even if she'd had a few fainting spells and they didn't know what it was,
wouldn't
you think, yeah, let's figure out what it is. Is this something that could be hereditary and passed on to our children? Mm-hmm. We should know that information. Nope, no autopsy. He ended up receiving $430,000 from Tammy's life insurance policy.
Bingo. In late November, Kay Woodcock, Charles's mother, called police to report that she couldn't get in contact. No, it's supposed to be a sister.
Sister, yeah.
Yeah. In late November, Kay Woodcock, Charles's sister, called police to report that she couldn't get in contact with Lori, Tylee, or JJ. She said that she hadn't seen them in 2 months and was desperate for finding them. The last time she'd seen JJ was during a 36-second FaceTime call with him in August. She had no idea where the family even was. While looking for any clue as to where Lori and the kids might be, Kay was able to get into Charles's email. She found an Amazon order made on his account for a woman's malachite wedding ring. The shipping address was in Rexburg, Idaho, aka the New Jerusalem. Armed with an address, Kay contacted police again, now hopeful that she could locate her grandchildren. Police in Rexburg went to Lori's residence to see if they could make contact with JJ and Tylee. Lori wasn't home, but Chad and Alex were both there. They asked where JJ and Alex were, where JJ was, and Alex told them that he was with his grandma Kay in Louisiana. And they're like, no. Find that highly unlikely on account of the fact that Kay is the one who called us looking for JJ. So, like,
why was that not the biggest fucking red flag in the world? That is a red flag with glitter, and it's lighting up, and it's saying, look at me, look at me. Why did they say, why didn't they just let him keep talking about that? Oh, okay. Did Kay pick him up? Did you see that happen? Like, I bet he would have said, yes, I saw that happen. Like, why would you not follow up with more questions? Because you, officer, know that that's not true.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a huge red flag.
Yeah. If I have my dog in my possession, I'm not going to call someone and be like, hey, do you know where Apple went? Because I know where the fuck she is. She's in my house. Like,
exactly. It doesn't make any sense. And they just were like, actually, no, that's not right. So let me give you the information you need to have. She called. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, then never mind somebody else. You know, like.
Yeah.
That's such a.
I know. So they went ahead, or Alex and Chad said, Lori was in a nearby apartment, 107, which was the home of a friend. So officers had a really weird feeling. So they called for backup before approaching apartment 107. Lori answered and told them that JJ was with one of her friends in Arizona. And this friend is Melanie Gibb. Remember the Sweaty Balls podcast? Mm-hmm. She offered to call Melanie so they could speak to him, but Melanie didn't answer. But Lori told officers that they, you know, oh, they went to see Frozen 2. They might be at the movies. Officers asked Lori, please, please, please call us when you get in touch. Like, call JJ, get in touch with him, and then call us back. Like, let us know that he's safe.
Again, and why is that not, like, if you're doing a welfare check on somebody, and this is a child, and you go, and you've already caught him in a lie, and now she says, oh, he's in Arizona. Well, why is your child in Arizona and you're not there? Can they go on trips? Sure. Can you go visit family for the summer? Sure, whatever. But, okay, well, then let me hear his voice.
Well, and also, again, the optics are like completely off, because why would Alex say he's with his grandmother? Duh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It just, like, at that point, when you can't get in touch with them, okay, well, then we don't need to leave until we do. Isn't that the point of a welfare check? And they're just like, just give us a call if you hear from him.
Yeah, because I can guarantee what Lori probably did was she's going to call them in 25 minutes and be like, called him.
He's fine.
I already talked to him. Yeah, it's just... So when officers were finally able to get in touch with Melanie, she was initially resistant, but finally admitted that she had no idea where JJ was. She said that she'd called Lori and Chad and asked them why they would tell police that he had been with her. Lori, who'd accused her of recording the phone call, which she did, said that she needed an excuse to, like, she was like, I needed to tell them somewhere that JJ was, so... I didn't have to tell them where he actually was. And Melanie is like, okay, you can understand my concern. Like, where is he? And she's like, he is safe and he is happy. That's, If Lori Bellow had a tagline, it would be, they're safe and happy. Like, that's all she knows how to say.
Yeah. And Melanie is understandably upset because she's like, you told the police that I have your child when you know full well I don't have your child. You wanted me to lie to the police for you.
Yes.
And like, do you understand why I might be upset about that? And Lori and Chad are both on the phone and they're like, no. And they make it all about how she's wrong for even thinking.
They get so defensive. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're like, know me.
Mm-hmm. How could you think this? You know, whatever. And it's like, but no, you did lie to the police about me. Like, what? No.
I am proud of Melanie, though, because she's like, because they're like, you know, I love you. And she's like, well, if you loved me and you cared about me, you would not put me in this position, which is absolutely true.
Yeah.
So still unable to get in touch with JJ, investigators noticed that no one had seen or heard from Tylee either. Colby tried to call and text his sister, but everything bounced back. And on December 20th, 2019, Tylee and JJ were officially declared missing. It was also discovered that in November, Lori and Chad had traveled to Hawaii and gotten married on the beach. JJ and Tylee were not with them. It was difficult to nail down exact dates, but investigators were able to determine when JJ and Tylee were last seen. With warrants, detectives obtained access to Lori's iCloud account. They found if they got access to my iCloud account, they would be able to find the entire 5 CD that I accidentally bought and downloaded when I was wine drunk one night. Why? I don't know. It is a good CD, though.
It is.
They found a picture from September 8th, 2019 of JJ, Tylee, and Alex at Yellowstone National Park. And this was the last time that anyone could prove Tylee was alive. Detectives released a statement asking anyone who had been at Yellowstone during that time to please send any photos or videos they'd taken. On September 3rd, Lori had enrolled JJ at Kennedy Elementary School in Rexburg. On September 20th, she unenrolled him, telling school officials that she was going to homeschool him, and no one had seen him since. Lori's internet searches showed that on that day, she'd searched for the elementary school's phone number and also define possess. As suspicion of Lori and Chad began to grow, investigators started looking at other things, including Tammy's death. Now ruled suspicious, her body was exhumed on December 11th and sent for an autopsy. It was then determined that she had actually died from asphyxiation.
That's not a natural cause.
Absolutely not. Idiots. On December 12th, 51-year-old Alex Cox was found dead in his home. Prior to his death, Alex had told his wife that he felt he was going to be the fall guy for everything Lori and Chad had done. Alex's death was ruled as being from natural causes due to hereditary clots or blood clots in his lungs. Additionally, police in Phoenix began reexamining the death of Lori's third husband and Tylee's biological father, Joseph Ryan. It was ultimately determined that Joseph's death was truly from natural causes. On December 21st, Chad and Lori were officially announced as persons of interest in JJ and Tylee's disappearances. Not long after, they released a statement saying that they've got information that indicates that Lori either knew where the children were or what happened to them. Despite the mounting evidence against them, Chad and Lori refused to cooperate with police. On January 3rd, 2020, officers served a search warrant on Chad's home, removing at least 43 items, including electronics, documents, and journals. On the 25th, Lori, who had left Idaho with Chad and was now in Hawaii, was served with a notice that said that she must produce the children to the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare or the Rexburg Police within 5 days. And shockingly enough, they didn't do that. The day came and went, and they didn't produce anything.
I remember when this happened, and it was in the news, and they were like, okay, they've got a deadline, and if they don't produce the children, then they're going to be arrested or whatever. And I just kept, like, why do they get another 5 days? Like,
I have no idea.
If the children at this time were alive and were in danger, and you're just going to let that go another 5 days... Like, yeah. Produce them now.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's not like something that you can, like, I'm behind on a project and I just need an extra 5 days to get it done. You either know where they are and can produce them or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one or the other, mm-hmm. you know, like and an like, extra 5 days is not going to do anything.
Right. And if they're in another state with somebody or whatever, then get them on the phone right now so that we can hear their voice and know that they're
exactly. Like,
and okay, we'll give you the, you know, day or so to for them to travel. But yeah, I just couldn't understand that. Like,
right. Like, what? Let's begin arrangements to get them here if that's the case. But it wasn't, obviously. In February, Lori's storage locker in Idaho was located, which contained several items belonging to JJ and Tylee. On February 20th, Lori was arrested in Kauai on a $5 million warrant and charged with two felony counts of desertion and non-support of dependent children, in addition to charges of obstructing officers, criminal solicitation to commit a crime, and contempt of court. Both she and Chad remained under investigation for conspiracy and attempted murder/murder. On March 6th, 2020, Lori had her bail hearing. Her bail was set at $1 million and she was returned to the Madison County Jail. Colby called his mom, begging her. Oh, it's so sad, too. He is like, Mom, please say, like, tell us where they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, tell us what happened. Yeah. And she's like, they're okay. They're safe and they're happy.
Yeah, they're safe and they're happy.
I would never do anything to hurt them.
Like,
and of course, he doesn't buy it at all, but
no.
Yeah. Hey, y'all. Did you know that we release an update all about us and what we're up to each week on our Patreon? It's called Tea to the Fourth Power Y, which is some time to talk to you, a nod to Not Another Teen Movie. Mm-hmm. And it's where we just gal pal with you about life, what we're watching, our love for Cracker Barrel Italian dressing. I mean, honestly, the sky's the limit.
You never know what you're going to get, really. Mm-hmm. If you want to catch an episode without being a patron, you are in luck. Just head over to killerqueens.link/TT. TTY Okay, time to talk to you, four T's and a Y, and you'll get to hear a full episode for free. And you can get every single regular release episode ad-free for as little as $3 a month. That's less than half the price of the coffee I get at Starbucks, so.
I know, that's crazy.
I know, what a deal.
Mm-hmm. And for $10 a month, you get all that plus our other two Patreon-exclusive shows, Murder Mixtapes, which is a full bonus case each week. Recent cases are Tara Grinstead, Hannah Cornelius, and New York Body Snatchers, just to name a few.
And you also get our other Patreon-exclusive show, Doc Jams, which is where we cover true crime documentaries episode by episode. We've done Don't Fuck With Cats. We've done Crime Scene on Netflix. They have Cecil Hotel and Times Square Killer. We've done The Jinx. We've done so many more. So be sure to head to killerqueens.link/TTTY to get your free episode and hundreds more episodes to download right now and binge when you become a member of our Patreon community.
Detectives subpoenaed Alex's phone records and were able to track his movements and locations around the time that JJ and Tylee went missing. His phone placed him in Chad's backyard for 2.5 hours on September 9th. 14 minutes after Alex left the property, Chad texted Tammy saying, quote, "Well, I've had an interesting morning. I felt I should burn all the limb debris by the fire pit before it got too soaked from the coming storms. While I did so, I spotted a big raccoon along the fence. I hurried and got my gun, and he was still walking the wall. I got close enough that one shot did the trick. He is now in our pet cemetery."
Who texts like that? Well, yeah.
I felt I should burn all of the limb debris before it got soaked by the coming storms.
And obviously, like,
while I did so. Like, that's yeah.
Poor Tammy is not like, were you just trying to cover up a gunshot? No, like clearly we know that's what he's trying to do. And it's, she's just like, okay, then say you killed a raccoon. Fuck off. Like, yeah, it's just the way he said it is so weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious that he's trying to cover up something at the very least. On June 9th, 2020, detectives arrived at the Daybell property with a search warrant, along with the FBI, tons of officers, search dogs, and they all seemed to be focused on the backyard. Chad spoke to Lori over the jailhouse phone and told her that the backyard is being searched. And he does not sound happy.
He does not sound happy. And she's just like, okay.
Okay. Do you want to talk later? And he's like, I don't know.
Not sure if that's going to work out, Lori.
Probably be in jail. So
yeah. Kind of depends on how it goes here, Lori.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's just like, okay, well, talk to you later.
Those on scene reported that Chad was watching the search closely, then tried to leave in his SUV. Idiot. Just after he sped off, police followed him and arrested him. Two sets of human remains had been found buried in Chad's backyard, and Chad was charged with two felonies, including concealment, distribution, and alteration of evidence.
So officers on scene said they knew immediately that one of the sets of remains belonged to JJ. He was still wearing the red pajamas that he'd had on in a photo found in Lori's iCloud. And it's the last photo taken of JJ. And it was taken on September 22nd inside Lori's Rexburg apartment. Both sets of remains were taken to the Ada County morgue. JJ had been bound with duct tape and had duct tape on his mouth. He had a plastic bag over his head, which had also been sealed with duct tape. That's horrific. His cause of death was ruled as asphyxiation from the plastic bag. Tylee's remains were burned and in pieces. It was obvious she'd been the victim of a homicide. However, the cause of death was difficult to determine. It was ultimately ruled as a homicide by unspecified means. Her remains were later sent to an FBI forensic anthropologist who found evidence of sharp trauma. Tylee's DNA was noted to have been found on a pickaxe in the Daybell shed. And he called her essentially a raccoon. You know, I mean, he's obviously using that as a cover story, but just to... This is a child.
Mm-hmm.
A human. Oh my gosh. On August 3rd, 2020, a preliminary hearing was held for Chad.
Rexburg police officers testified about how they'd attempted to do a welfare check on JJ, and that Chad had actually originally told them that he'd last seen JJ in October. They also said that initially Chad told him he didn't have Lori's phone number, but then finally said, well, yeah, okay, I do. Because he tried to act like he's like, I don't know. What's her name again, Laura? Yeah, I think I've met her once or twice before. I don't know her all that well. Mm-hmm. I'm in her apartment right now, but I don't. Couldn't figure out a lineup. That's what you're asking me. I don't know. Certainly don't have her phone number. I'm just in her apartment while she's not here.
Oh, did you say her phone number? I actually do think I have her phone number.
Yeah. Wait, oh, you said Lori. I thought you said Rory. I thought we were talking about somebody else. Like,
exactly.
What? So during the hearing, he said that he lied about having her phone number because he thought officers were accusing him of something.
We are now.
We're accusing you of having her phone number at the very least. I mean, I'm pretty sure you do. Yeah. Like, come on. Melanie Gibb also testified to the fact that Chad had called her that evening to tell her that Rexburg police would be calling her and not to pick up. He told Melanie that they were going to tell the police that JJ was with her. Melanie and her boyfriend, David, said that they'd been told that Tylee was at BYU, Idaho, with her roommates, although she'd never even actually been enrolled at any school in Idaho. On September 22nd, Melanie said that she saw Alex taking JJ upstairs around 10:30 p.m., and that this was the same day that that last known photo of JJ was taken. The next morning, Lori told David that JJ had an outburst the night before, climbing on furniture and knocking over a picture of Jesus. David offered to give JJ a blessing, but Lori reportedly told her that Alex had, quote, already taken care of him. And David was there to record a podcast with Lori and Chad, I guess. And so he actually sees Alex carrying JJ at one point, he says. And the detectives believe that JJ had been killed the night before. So he thinks JJ is sleeping on Alex's shoulder. And it is now believed that Alex was carrying him out dead, right in front of him.
And just said,
oh, he's asleep.
Awful.
Both Chad and Lori were indicted on charges of murdering Tylee and JJ. Chad was indicted for the murder of his former wife, Tammy. Lori was indicted for conspiracy to commit murder for the shooting death of her former husband, Charles.
In April of 2023, Lori went on trial for the murder of her two children. She, of course, pleaded not guilty. During one of the first days of the trial, after photos were shown of both children's remains, Lori's attorney requested that she be excused for the remainder of the day because, quote, the graphic evidence was to be shown, or that was shown, that was to be shown would be detrimental to her already fraught mental health. The request was denied.
That judge was like, abortion. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like,
sorry that this is going to be difficult for you to see, but you did this. This is what you did. I mean, there's
direct
no question
of your actions. So
yeah,
you should have to look at it. The prosecution did their best to present Lori as someone who would and did everything she needed to get what she wanted. What she wanted was Chad Daybell. Why?
My goodness. Yeah.
I have no idea.
That's a choice. And like, it, you know, that makes sense. And like we said, she's doing a lot of stuff to cover up the things that she has done. So if she really believes that she's doing the best thing for these children because now they've become zombies and blah, 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 because she's telling people they're zombies. She's telling other people all this stuff. But even the people that she thinks would believe her or would maybe not believe her, but like Melanie. Melanie is
in
of similar mindset.
Of, yeah.
And in similar beliefs, but she still lies to her too. Like, it's just the way that she only tells certain people certain things, tells different stories to different people, covers things up to different, like, you know that she's covering it up, and that is very, very calculating. It's manipulative. Like,
oh, yeah.
She's doing it on purpose. I do believe she's had a mental break.
Oh,
100%. This is not
just
a mental break.
Right.
Like, there's
definitely
more there.
Mm-hmm. There's something incredibly sinister and malevolent
yes
behind her. Multiple people took the stand to testify regarding how she would refer to both children as zombies and dark spirits before they disappeared. Some also said that they'd heard Lori talk about how, much like she used to describe Charles, that demons had taken over the bodies of Tylee and JJ. When Melanie Gibb took the stand, she elaborated more on the light and dark scale that Lori and Chad used. Quote, "The light and dark scale that she and Chad reportedly believed in, she said people who were light had signed contracts with the Savior, and those who were dark signed contracts with Satan before coming to Earth. Lori taught her friends and others about the scale and reportedly told them someone could switch from dark to light and light to dark."
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I don't follow Lori's same
belief system.
I'm not going to call it, I'm not going to call it a religion. She's got a cult thing happening here. But I don't know that you sign contracts. Like, this is not like Tenacious D tribute. Like, they're shined a shiny demon. And like, we're signing contracts with, like, you either sign one with Jesus or not. Like, I don't know. I didn't know that was a thing. And like, she called, what was it? She said Kelsey was like a level 3.5 dark spirit, but Tylee was a 4.
Or 4.1.
Okay, yeah. She was even worse than Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelsey's awful, mm-hmm. according to Lori.
Oh, yeah.
Bizarre. 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 Yeah. She does this in emails. Like,
yeah, she's not trying to hide it by any means. Of course, she's obviously light, right? Like, it's convenient.
Yeah, she's like, Jesus told her she's light, so.
Exactly.
Jot that down.
A forensic scientist testified about Tylee's DNA being found on the pickaxe and a shovel in Chad's shed. She also revealed that Alex's fingerprints were found on the plastic bag around JJ's head. Text messages that had been exchanged between Lori and Chad were shown to the court. These demonstrated that a plan had been in place to murder Tylee and JJ for months. The texts also emphasized what friends had testified about regarding Lori and Chad calling the children demons. July 18th, Chad, quote, been instructed to focus my efforts on Hillary, so I will. She is at a 0.13. I turned up the pain to 10 and placed a spiritual virus in her.
Turned up the pain to 10? Are we torturing her?
Apparently. Friends said that Hillary was the name Chad and Lori used for the demon that they claimed was possessing Tylee. They also said that the closer the person was to 0, the closer they were to death. July 29th, Chad. Quote, "Do you want me to cause pain yet to those 2 3s you're riding with?" And the 3s were Tylee and JJ. Lori responded, quote, "Probably hold off on them till we arrive. They will be miserable to deal with. But I'll text you if they start acting up and we can zap them." Chad then texted, quote, "Yes, if they are going to act up, we'll at least give them a reason to scream. I love, cherish, treasure, and adore you." Yeah.
"We'll give them a reason to scream." Oh my gosh.
XOXO, Chad. Yeah. August 10th, Lori, quote, "Do you think there is a perfectly orchestrated plan to take the children? And do we just have to wait for it to be carried out? I feel lost. Like I should be doing something to help." And Chad responded, quote, "There is a plan being orchestrated for the children." Lori's defense attorney continuously referred to these text messages as fantasy.
I bet you would.
The thing about stuff like that is if I was sending messages about wanting someone dead or wanting to kill them and they never ended up dead, that's where it's fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that things can't happen. Shit happens all the time. I don't know. But they're in his backyard.
Yeah, and he's saying, "There's a plan. Do you want me to turn the pain up to 10? I'll take care of them." She's saying, "Let's zap them. What are we doing to get rid of the children? I feel like I should be helping. I feel like it shouldn't all be on you." And he's like, "Nah, we got it. But, you know, don't worry." Fantasy? No, not when they ended up dead by homicide in your backyard with your pickaxe. Obviously, like, her DNA is on that. Yeah, in the backyard, burned back there. There's all these, like, oh my God. And I mean, obviously, like, nobody's buying that, but like.
Right. It's just, and I understand, I've said it before, but like, I understand the burden that's on a defense attorney. Like, you gotta do, gotta make a defense somehow, right?
What a wrong shot to take with the defense, though. Well, that was just fantasy. It doesn't mean that she had anything to do with it. Okay, well, she obviously had everything to do with it. So he would have been better off doing an insanity defense. Yeah, she did it, but...
Mm-hmm.
Like, because there's no question.
She wasn't in her right mind. She didn't know. Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no getting around the fact that she had something to do with it, at the very least, but that she definitely did it. On May 12th, 2023, after a 7-hour deliberation, the jury unanimously found Lori Ballow Daybell guilty on all charges of murder and conspiracy to commit murder in the death of Tammy Daybell. Before her sentencing, Lori was allowed to make a statement to the court. Quote, I mourn with all of you who mourn my children and Tammy. Jesus Christ knows the truth of what happened here. Jesus Christ knows that no one was murdered in this case. I have had many communications from people now living in heaven, including my children, Tylee Ashlyn and Joshua Jackson. I have had many communications with Jesus Christ, the Savior of this world, and our heavenly parents. I've had many angelic visitors that have come and communicated with me and even manifested themselves to me. Because of these communications, I know for a fact that my children are happy and busy in the spirit world. I am the only person on this earth who knows how much Tylee suffered in her life. She had pain every single day. She never felt good. Her body did not work right. She had a very difficult life.
Since when?
Exactly. Like, where's the proof of that? And also, she might have suffered at the hands of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guarantee that's correct. She probably did suffer in her last days or last months.
Yes. I would even.
But her body didn't work
say
right.
Years.
No, she did not have, I mean, she did have a health condition when she was younger, but reportedly this is completely under control. Nobody else in her family talks about her having to deal with the fallout of that at all. She has a job. Right. She's doing great in school. She's active. She's all these things.
I mean, she was upset about having to move, understandably so, because mm-hmm. I mean, she's moved quite a bit, big moves too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just, none of that. There's no evidence of it. There is no proof that that is even true. And what I feel like Lori is doing, which Lori is so good at, is distancing herself from the responsibility of her actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, okay, she's dead, but she had a hard life. So don't you think that's better? Like, that's pretty much what she's saying.
Well, and what she's saying too, to your point, but like in the earlier in that, she's like, I know that they are happy and safe in heaven. Like, it's better for them this way. She's doubling down on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing, like, she even says that in her response to the court or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So why they tried to go with, well, that was just fantasy. It had nothing to do with anything. Like, you know what I mean? It just.
Yeah. I know. Bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off. Lori continued to talk about how she'd been visited not only by her two children, but Tammy Daybell as well. And she actually described Tammy Daybell as her internal or eternal friend. Fucking rude.
Yeah, if Tammy Daybell is visiting you, it's because she's haunting the shit out of you. And I hope
as
she is.
She should, yes.
Yeah.
49-year-old Lori was sentenced to 5 life sentences in prison without the possibility of parole. Good. Make it 6. I'm not driving.
Yeah. Also, I think, like, when I said, you know, Tammy would be haunting her and, you know, whatever. Like, yeah. Tammy, from all reports, was just a phenomenal person mm-hmm. and may An very angel. Well be somebody who would forgive her. You know, like, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying anything like that. I just,
oh,
like,
yeah, 100%.
For Laura but, to I mean, be like, oh, she visits me and we're like eternal friends. Like, no, you killed her. Yeah. You had such a hand in killing her.
Mm-hmm.
You knew it was going to happen ahead of time because you ordered that ring that you married her husband with while yeah. she was still alive. You ordered that ring.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you knew she wasn't going to be around much longer.
On your dead husband's Amazon account that you murdered.
Yep.
And all for this, like, no, but dad jean wearing New Balance sneaker, dumpy ass Chad Daybell?
I know. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, he's, I don't think he's charismatic, but to her, he is.
Well, and I unfortunately had to sit through a tiny little bit of his, what do you call it? Like, his, he was a guest speaker at the.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
People preparing PPPs. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was boring as hell. He has got not a good speaking voice.
No.
I would not have enjoyed that. Not one little bit, but.
There's just, yeah, it's just so crazy. Something about him just drew Lori, and then everything else became secondary to her. Even her children. And like we said in the first episode, every single person that knew her, including like Colby, he's like, she was such a wonderful mother. Mm-hmm. She was always there. She was always engaged. She was always present. She fought for us. She, when she found out what Joe was doing, she left. It wasn't like she, you know, and not to say that if you stay in a relationship like that, you're doing that and continuing to put your children through things. There are times that you cannot leave. And I understand that. I've been in an abusive relationship, but she left right then. Like, she was just this fierce protector of her children at all costs. And now she's got somebody saying, well, they need to die.
She did a complete about face and murdered them.
Willingly. And it sounds like they'd been torturing them.
Oh, for a long, long, long time. I guarantee it.
And she's complicit in that. And yeah, I mean, should we hurry this up or what? Should I do something or are you just going to do it? Like, I can get my hands dirty if I need to.
And then they go on like nothing is different. Nothing has changed.
And they their go to Hawaii. Wedding photos?
I know.
And also, wasn't the folder of the wedding photos that got sent to the journalist guy, it had exactly 666 photos in it.
Who's the demon now?
Wowzers. Wowzers. Yeah. And their pictures are just like if you just saw the pictures, you'd be like, oh, that's really sweet.
Uh-huh.
And her children are dead in his backyard.
Uh-huh. And they're living it up in Kauai. Summer, Lori's sister, reflected on how incredibly heartbreaking it was not only to lose her niece and nephew, but to see what her sister had become. Quote, the world would have been a better place with Tylee in it. The world would have been a better place with JJ in it. We will always be grief-stricken over their untimely deaths and are beyond sad that they were betrayed by the very mother they loved. There are no excuses for Lori's actions regarding Tylee and JJ, but we do see that she is mentally ill. I don't mind that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get a little annoyed with some statements, but that one is fine with me. When Larry Woodcock, JJ's grandfather, walked out of the courthouse after the ruling, the crowd was chanting and singing one of JJ's favorite songs, We Will Rock You by Queen. I could cry. That, like, why? Just that alone. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's sad already, don't get me wrong, but like, just that, like, it tugs at me.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Daybell's trial is set for April of 2024. In 2021, Chad's five children finally broke their silence in an interview with 48 Hours. They expressed that they believe their father is innocent and that he was set up by Alex and Lori. His daughter, Emma, said that none of this would have happened if Lori hadn't met their father. All five of the siblings agreed that they never believed that their father could have killed their mother so he could marry Lori.
I mean, my heart breaks for them.
Was
going to
say the same thing. Because I feel like if you watch The Sins of Our Mother, Lori's mom kind of alludes to this or talks about this a little bit. But it's like, I think that for them to probably even just live, they have to believe that he's innocent. And I don't blame them for holding on to that. Like, I can't imagine you lost your mom and now you are, I would say, 99% chance that you're going to lose your dad.
Yeah.
If not 100.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you have to hold on to like whatever keeps you going, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're victims in this too. I mean, their mother has been taken.
Mm-hmm.
I find it. So it's, yeah, you, I mean, they have to believe that. They have to believe that. And that's completely understandable. And you know, maybe if Lori and Chad had not met each other, maybe none of these things would have happened, you know, but they did. And it was the two of them together. And I, you know, I hate that for his kids because I can't even imagine what that's like. And Lori's family and everybody too. That's just such a difficult thing.
Well, the ripple effect. I mean, we talk about it often, but I do think that while I understand why they need to, or probably feel the need to dismiss the charges against him or be like, you know, I completely believe in his innocence, it doesn't excuse or absolve him of any, you know, like there's absolutely no way. Like there's just way too much against him, obviously. Like there's absolutely no way that you could deny everything. But
yeah. I mean, the text messages, what he said to Tammy that day, and now we know that what he's doing is covering up the murder and burial of Tylee. Like,
well, and I mean, I'm not saying that you have to bury, like if somebody's buried in your backyard, you were the one who murdered them, but I'm going to guess pretty good chance that it's true, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what are the
fucking odds that somebody else murdered them and then buried them right in your own fucking backyard?
Exactly. You'd have to be pretty friggin' unlucky.
Terrell, I don't like it when you use that language.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'll try to stop.
Friggin' geez. Sorry.
Not the F and J. I know.
But Lori is currently housed at the Pocatello Women's Correctional Center in Pocatello, Idaho. Which is not in the New Jerusalem.
No. So that's not good for her.
And they thought that like the end of the world was going to be 2020. Wasn't it like March 20th, 2020 or something like that? And spoiler alert, didn't happen.
No, but that's right around when like quarantine shit started happening.
That's true. I don't remember the exact day, but for some reason that is sticking out of my mind. And maybe it's because it was like a traumatic event for me and everyone else in the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing though, but we've seen this time and time again when cult leaders or whatever are like, this is going to happen. And then the time comes and the thing doesn't happen. Just nobody says anything about it. They're just like, okay, well, let's just pretend like that didn't, you know, like, or I can never die. I'm immortal. And then they die. And then everybody's like, well, maybe they can die.
Right.
Maybe that's why.
Well, male seahorse has the babies. It's like, yeah.
Exactly. They're just like, probably still true. I don't know. And I get it because.
That's what I said. I said I could die. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I get it. You've put so much into this. You've put everything into this. You've put your whole world and your being and your, you know, belief system and all of that into this. So.
But like at what cost, especially for Lori and for Chad? I mean, my God, like how many innocent people have died? And now, not that I care, give a shit about what either of them, like what the rest of their lives look like, because I don't. As long as they're not free, that's not all I care about. But they've lost everything. Everything.
Mm-hmm. And just the devastation they've left in the wake. Like, obviously, you know, there are people who have lost their lives, but the people who are left behind, I feel really bad for her mom too, Lori's mom, because she caught a lot of flack for going on TV and doing an interview and supporting Lori and saying, no, she couldn't have done this.
And her sister did too.
Yeah. But the person that she knew could not have done this. Like, I understand that. And I feel so terribly for her because, you know, that's her daughter. And she wasn't always like this. And so, yeah, the person that she knew would not do something like this. And that's so hard for her to grapple with. Like,
of course it is. Yes. I mean, we've talked about that before, but it's like, you, like, if I found something out about you, I wouldn't be surprised. But no, I'm kidding. But if I found something out like you had done something terrible like this, I would be like, no, she's not capable of that.
Right.
Because I know you.
Yeah.
And while I still don't think that you would ever do it because I know who you are, everyone in this entire world, I'm capable of it. You're capable of it. Everyone's capable of it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is.
Yeah.
And it just makes me sad because I don't know. I feel like it's very Britney Spears, like, don't let me be the last to know. Like, parents they want to be the last to know, you know? Like, don't say me that. I don't want to know that.
Yeah.
Or and, like a family of kids, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And even like, you know, Colby through this whole thing, he has suffered the whole time. And when he started putting videos up on YouTube, just hoping that like Tyler or JJ would see it and find some way to contact him, he was trying to get through to them. People were just being so hateful online. He's probably got something to do with it. He did it, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, what is wrong with people?
Why is there so much hate in some people's hearts?
Yeah. Especially online. Grow up.
100%. I mean, like, you think that you have some big old cojones because you're anonymous through a keyboard and behind a keyboard. It's like, yeah, exactly. Like, no, that's just hateful. And people, I think that it's hard. You know, I mean, the people, like the cases that we talk about, we try really, really hard to keep in mind and to remind ourselves that these are actual people. Like, we can talk about them until we're blue in the face, even high profile cases like this one or, you know, JonBenet or whoever. But at the end of the day, these are actual people with actual lives.
Mm-hmm.
And words hurt. And it's just, you know, so I don't understand why people think if it's, oh God, it's, I'm thinking of the quote from The Ring. Shit, what is that guy's name? I love that guy. But he's like the dad, Samara's dad. And he's like, what is it with you people? He's talking to Naomi Watts, but she's like a journalist. And he's like, what is it with you people? You take someone's tragedy and force the world to experience it. And that's like...
Yes. Well, Colby even said, I'm just remembering now that you mentioned that, he said that when one of the journalists knocked on his door to get a comment from him, he said, hey, I really want you to comment on this. This is a great story. And he's like, this is my life. These are my siblings.
See, exactly.
This is a great story. My God.
That guy, God, I wish I could remember his name. But anyway, he's an amazing actor. But he's talking about Naomi Watts, who's a journalist. But he's like, you take one person's tragedy and force the entire world to experience it. And that is incredibly true.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Just awful what this whole family has been through. All of them.
I know.
Well, guys, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
End of part two, you know? And we'll catch you next week for a totally different case.
Yeah. We're going to be like, you know, in different outfits probably even too.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. Maybe. I don't know. I like the sweater.
I do too. Yeah. I was going to say, I really like that sweater. But anyway, we'll talk later. All right. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this case. Connect with us on Instagram or Facebook to continue the conversation.
Thanks for listening, and we will meet you back here next week.
Bye.
The theme song for the show is created and composed by Stephen Toby. You can find more of Stephen's work on SoundCloud.
Our logo was created by Sloan Williams of Sophisticated Crayon. You can find more of her work on Etsy. Visit us at killerqueenspodcast.com for merch and other info about the show.